Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatzia Daf Zayin. We are holding on daf Vav Amid Beis. We are four lines from the end of the page. Vi'i Salka Daitach. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, and also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to conclude the sugya of Takfu Kohen, and we're going to relate back to the question of whether a Safek is Chayiv in Meiser, and discuss how that relates to the issue of Takfu Kohen. Then the Gemara is going to go back to conclude the issue relating to that bathhouse that was in dispute, where you had the person, one of the people who were disputing over the ownership of the bathhouse, was Makdish the bathhouse. So is that a valid form of Hekdish? Are people allowed to use the bathhouse? So we're going to come to a conclusion about that. And then in the second half of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss keeping the part of the talis that a person is holding on to. Meaning, Shnayim Ochsin B'talis, yeah, they're Cholkin, but what if I'm holding on to a larger portion of the talis than the other fellow is holding on to? So do we assume at least what's in my hand I would keep, and what the ramifications are for that on the inyan of kinyan sudar, which is a very common form of kinyan that we do? Then the Gemara is going to have a brisa about two people holding on to a shtar. So how do you split that when there are two people holding a shtar? Or what exactly are the assumptions? Do you need a kiyum shtar? Is not needed kiyum hashtaros to give it back to one party? Do you split it? Then the Gemara is going to have a stira within Shitas Rabbi Yossi, where the Rabbi Yossi is choshesh that a found shtar has already been paid. So we have a stira in two different places where Rabbi Yossi seems to contradict himself, and the Gemara is going to have three ways of resolving that stira within Rabbi Yossi. And then on the second half of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how one divides a shtar. Do you actually cut the paper and half? What does that do for you exactly? What does dividing things mean in all these contexts? When you divide a shtar, when you divide a talis, when you divide a behema, do you actually physically divide the thing, or do we look at what it's worth and go with the monetary value of it? So let's begin. Again, we're really right in the middle of a conversation, but Abaye is explaining his raya from the Mishnah that safek is not that a safek animal is not chayiv in Meiser. That if you have an animal that's a safek, whether it's a bar chiyuva in Meiser or not, that it's not chayiv in Meiser. So he had brought a Mishnah that it said that kafatz echon min amnuyin l'tochan kulin peturin. That if, let's say, you started counting out your meiser behem animals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then one of the ones you've already counted jumps back right into the pen. So now they're all potter because there's a safek among them. So says Abaye, v'isal kadaitach sveka ba'yisure. If you're going to say that a sveka, meaning if you have an animal that you're mesupak, whether it's chayiv and meiser or not, that you need to be ma'aserit, you need to take meiser from it. So if there's a possibility for that, why would we say kulan peturin la aser? Let the guy take meiser from all the sheep that are in the pen right now, and it'll be yotze yischiv meiser mimanavshach, and it's going to work mimanavshach. That all of the 10 that go out, and he's mekadish the 10th one, it will work no matter what, because the bar chiyuva who, if the 10th one that went out is a bar chiyuva, then it has, then the kedusha meiser is going to be chal, because yeah, if let's say all 10 that he counted out in this unit of 10, all 10 that he counted out are actually Bnei Chiyuva. So good, so the 10th one is Meiser. Shapir Ma'aser, he did exactly right. The Ilav Bar Chiyuva Hu, and if that 10th one is not a Bar Chiyuva, because one of the 10 that was the one that jumped back in and had already been counted, and therefore is not included in the Chiyuv Meiser, so Niftar B'minyan Arai. Still, the ones that he counted out right now should all be Potter, because at least they've all been counted. Meaning, even though Enochinami, The tenth one that you counted wasn't really the tenth, because one of the other ones was already not chayiv. So, but the counting that you did at least made them all counted. And at the time that you, as long as you counted animals in a way where it could have led to a chayiv meiser, even though at the end of the day it didn't actually lead to a tenth one becoming meiser, then all of them are pater from meiser. That's a way of exempting from meiser, that if you count them all out, even though it doesn't come to fruition that the tenth one becomes meiser behema, any animal that you've already counted out, that's called a minyan hara'ui, that since at the time that you counted it out, it was a reasonable, valid counting, even though it didn't come to fruition, all of them are pater from meiser. So manavshach, if all the animals that I'm counting out, all 10 animals I'm counting out over here are chayiv, great, then the 10th one is meiser behema. And even if they're not all chayiv, they're at least a minyan ha-ra'ui, and as a minyan ha-ra'ui, they become pater from meiser behema. Da'amar Rava, minyan ha-ra'ui, that if you have minyan, a number that you counted out, that could have concluded with a 10th one being chayiv and meiser, poter, it paters those that have been counted, even though the count never came to its completion and was paused in the middle. For example, let's say you have 10 sheep, you counted out 5 of them, and you weren't able to count the other 5 and be mekadesh the 10th one till one of the ones that didn't get counted dropped dead, because one of the ones that didn't get counted yet dropped dead. So you thought you had 10 sheep, and you thought you were just going to be mekadesh the last sheep out of the pen. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you look, and number, one of the 5 that are still in the pen, it dropped dead. So now I'm not going to be able to count the other 5. So I only have 4 left in there, so I'm not able to be mashlim the minyan. Nevertheless, the 5 that I already counted are pater from going through meiser again. They've already been counted. That's what's called a minyan hara'ui. A minyan hara'ui is paters. Now, the 4 that have not yet been counted are still chayiv in meiser behema. So if you have more animals that are born into your flock that year, so good. Those 4 are going to be combined with all the others in order to be chayiv in meiser behema. So that halacha of minyan hara'ui is derived from the fact that the Torah says, Kol asher yavar tachas hashavet, ha'asiri yeh kodesh la Hashem. So the Gemara in Becharos, Daf Nun Tesam Beis, darshins Asher Yavar velo Shekvaravar. That it's Asher Yavar, that which is going to go tachas hashav, that which you're going to count out, but not if it was already counted. If it was already counted in a minyan ha-ra'oi, then that's going to be potter from Meiser Behema. So Abaye now concludes his raya. What are you going to say to be miyashiv that you're not ma'aser the talayim that are besafek? Asiri vaday amrachman of lo asiri safek. You're going to tell me that only in asiri that's vaday meiser behema. Do we say that it counts and that it's meiser, but not in asiri safek? Meaning you should not take meiser in a situation where there's no sense of certainty that the 10th one is actually kadosh. Maybe that's what you're going to argue, that if I can't be sure that the 10th one that I'm counting is actually kadosh, then there's no din of meiser. So over here, when one of the animals that are in the pen is not chayiv meiser, because it had already been counted and jumped back in, so if I'm ma'aser it together with all the rest of them, it's always going to be in asiri safek, because when I count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then I try to be maktish number 10. I don't know, maybe number 7 was the one that had already been counted and jumped back in the pen. So number 10 isn't really number 10, it's really number 9, because one of the other ones, 1 through 9, were not really chayiv in meiser. So that would be asiri suffix. So hachanami, so over here also, we could be, Abaye says, I could be docha, that which I previously said. What did he previously say? He said that when the Brisa says that Sveikos and Nechnasim Ladir this aser is talking about a case where you have 9 other animals plus the suffix, so then miman of shuch, you're okay. Because if the suffix is actually chayiv, so good, it's meiser behema, and you're good. And if the suffix is pater, it's not really chayiv, so then you only have 9 animals, you never chayiv meiser behema to begin with. So that's what he has said, that so you could do meiser behema in such a way. No, but now that I've established asiri vadei amrachmana velo asiri suffix, so in that case as well, asiri vadei amrachmana velo asiri suffix, you cannot take meiser at all in the case of suffix, and therefore al korchach, that which you are ma'aser, is because the kohen must not have any tzad zuchia in that tleh at all, otherwise you would never be able to be ma'aser. So you see from there that takfa kohen motzi miyado, and therefore it's saying no tzad zuchia, the kohen doesn't have any ownership at all, and the conclusion of the Gemara is that if a kohen goes and grabs it, motzi miyado, we take it away from him, we take it back from him. And that seems to be very, very clearly the conclusion of the sugya of takfa kohen. What is the curiosity of the sugya of takfa kohen is the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Bechoros, Perkei Halacha Gimel, paskins that takfa kohen ein motzin osa miyado. So everyone wonders that we had a whole long sugya over here, a complicated sugya, but one thing that wasn't complicated was the conclusion. The conclusion was that very clearly that motzin miyado. So how could the Rambam go against the conclusion of the Gemara? So the Rashba in Tshuva in Siman Shin Yud Aleph writes that the Rambam intends to paskin like Rav Hamnuna, who's medayik from Lashna, motzi mechaver alav haraya, that each one is able to be motzi mechavero, and everything that the Gemara said after that is only a dechia ba'alma. So all the whole discussion, the whole back and forth, the whole shakla v'tarya was a dechia to the initial impression, but the initial impression remains correct. And therefore, the Rambam paskins, the initial impression is ein motzi miyado, that you need a motzi mechavero alav haraya goes on both parties, that the original owner, if he's the one holding on to it and the kohen wants to get it, hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, but also if takfa kohen and the kohen already has it, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, that if you want to get it back from the kohen, it's also alav haraya. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Achmi Divtei Ravina, my sveikos. When the Braisa said sveikos and nichnas ledir, what exactly does it mean sveikos? That you, I'm a supuk whether chayv meiser I lema safik bechoros. If you want to tell me that I have a tleh that's a safik bechor or it's safik eno bechor, so the Braisa says that it could be mitzaref with your other animals. Well, that's difficult because yeah, kodesh amarchmana v'lo shekvar kadosh. The halach is meiser behema becomes kadosh, but anything that's already kadosh because it's a bechor, so it's not eligible to be meiser behema. So it would still be asiri safek. Meaning, based on what we just said, that asiri vaday amarchmana v'lo asiri safek, a safek bechor would be asiri safek. It wouldn't work. Ella, what's the case of safek bechor that's chayiv in meiser, of sveikos that are chayiv in meiser, that are nichnas ledir l'saser, safek pidyon peter chamor, that have a safek whether a donkey was a bechor or not. So it's poda it mi safek, meaning when you have a firstborn chamor, you do pidyon chamor, but pidyon peter chamor by exchanging the kedusha or whatever onto a sheep. So I was mesupik about the donkey, and then I did a pidyon peter chamor. It's not kadosh, but it's chayiv in ma'aser behema. That sheep is chayiv in ma'aser behema. Ukid Rav Nachman, Domer Rav Nachman, Rav Barvua, Yisrael sheish la sara safik pitrei chamor betoch beso. Let's say a guy had 10 donkeys, and all of them were a suffix whether they were a bechor to their mother or not a bechor to their mother. And as long as he's not pulled to them, they're asur ba'avodami suffix. So what should you do? Mafresh aleyan asara sayin. You should be mafresh 10 sheep, and through that, the isra avoda on those chamorim will be lifted. And what do I do with those 10 sheep? Uma Asran, you take Meiser from those 10 sheep, then the Asiri is going to be Kodesh, like Meiser Behema. Because even a Pidyon Peter Chamor is Chayiv in Meiser Behema, Vehein Shalom. But the thing is, that 10th sheep you get to keep, even though Pidyon Peter Chamor goes to a Kohen, because it's a Safek, maybe the Chamorim were not Pachorim to begin with, so therefore you don't have to actually give it to a Kohen. Now, Tosos raises the question, why do I need 10 sheep if I have 10 Safek Peter Chamors? The halacha is in Maseches Bechoros that a se echad is poter kama pitrei chamorim, that a single se can work as an exchange for many chamorim. So why do I need 10 sheep if I have 10 safek pidyon peter chamors? So Tosos and Bechoros writes that that's only a kasha l'shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says that you can only be poda b'se echad kama pa'amim if in between you gave it to the Kohen. So according to that, it's not a kasha because you didn't give it to the Kohen, so you can't be poda on the same set again. So, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, that even if you didn't give it to a Kohen, so that's where we have this this kasha. The Tosfos also suggests that maybe it's an extra chiddush, that even though all 10 are pidyon petach hamar, still they're nichnas on the deal of this aser. But in a chinami, even if only one of them was pidyon petach hamar, the halacha would be the same. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the bathhouse shaila. Remember, we had the shaila, two people arguing who owns the bathhouse, and one of them goes in as makdish, and the holy Amoraim refused to use that bathhouse until they resolve whether they're allowed to or not. So, mayavi Allah, what is the hachra'a lahalacha dimasusa? Mayavi Allah dimasusa in the case of the bathhouse. So, tashma, tamra, b'chibarav, and avu uvda, there was a maysa where they asked such a shayla by Rav Chista, Rav Chista by Rav Huna, Rav Chista asked shayla by Rav Huna, upashta, and they were poshet the shayla, mehadam Rav Nachman, kalmam, shen yachol otziyah b'dayanin, hekdeshu enu kadosh, that any money that the Bailim is not able to extract with dayanim, he doesn't have edim to bring them to the dayanim, to be made, that it belongs to him, so if he's makdish it, it's not kadosh, because it's not really berushuso. So that that resolves the issue of the masusa, that if neither side had a clear raya, so the fact that one of them was makdish, it is irrelevant. It wasn't berushuso to be makdish. Ooh, says the Gemara, but the diuk from that is, hayachal otzi b'dayanin. The implication is that had he been able to be motzi b'dayanim, hekdesho kadosh, then he would be able to be makdish it. Even though he didn't actually extract it with dayanim, he didn't actually win a court case to win it back. But didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us? If a person steals money from someone else and the Bailim didn't have Yeyush, neither party can be Makdish. The Gazlim can't be Makdish because it doesn't belong to him. And the Nigzal can't be Makdish because it's no longer in his Rishus. It's in the Rishus of the Gazlim. And you can't be Makdish that which is not in your Rishus. But wait a second. Astam Gzela, we assume that the Nigzal is going to be able to be Motzi B'dayanim. And yet we're saying that even though he has the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, he does not have the right to be makdish, as long as he has not actually been motzi b'dayanim, because so long as he's not motzi, he's not able to be makdish, because it's still considered to be eino b'rishuso. So isn't that against our diuk? Our diuk was, if you're yachal lahotzi b'dayanim, you're able to be makdish, even if you haven't in fact been motzi b'dayanim. Well, a nigzal is someone who's yachal, who has not yet in fact been motzi b'dayanim, and we say he's not able to be makdish because it's ainu b'rishuso. So it says mar misavrit b'masusa metaltan askinan. You're comparing apples and oranges, meaning we're talking about a bathhouse. You think a bathhouse is metaltalin, where the bailim can't be makdishit, even though he's able to be motzi b'dayanim because it's the other person is the one who's rishus it's in. B'masusa mekarkoy askinan. We're talking about a bathhouse that's karka. If I only have the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, even though I haven't actually been done it yet, b'rishus hekayma, it's in my rishus because it's karka. It doesn't go anywhere. So eino chinami, if I'm talking about metaltalin, that someone had stolen from me, even though I have the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, I cannot be makdish because it's not b'rishusi. But if I'm talking about karka that someone stole from me, if I have the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, then they have the ability to be makdish because it's right there in my rishus because karka is eino nigzelas. So now the Gemara discusses, goes back to the case of Shnayim Ochsin Betalis, but with an additional detail that the Mishnah didn't seem to mention. So Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava, Rav Tachlifa, who was a Ben Eretz Yisrael, taught Kamed Rabbi Avawi, taught the following halacha, Shnayim Adukim Betalis. If you have two people that are Adukim Betalis, Adukim means Ochsim. The Rishonim discuss why we would change the Lashon from Ochsim to Adukim. Maybe it has slightly different implications, but whatever it is, Shnayim Adukim, Dukim betalis, zenot al makom shiadu magas, v'zenot al makom shiadu magas, v'ashar cholkin b'shada. That when the Mishnah said that you do a chaluka of the talis, that means of the portion of the talis that neither of them is physically grasping. But if whatever part I'm holding on to, that's mine. Whatever part the other party's holding on to, that's his. It's only the rest of the talis in between that gets split. So machvile Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo made a gesture to indicate ubishvua, that when we say that it's cholkin, it's only cholkin bishvua, that you have to take a shvua, meaning you have to. It's a machlokes rishonim on what the pashtus is. You have to take a shvua on whatever it is you're going to take, even that which is already in your hand, because since they were masakin the shvua that for the purpose of shalei kalecha and holich v'tokif talisa shalchaveiro, it's to prevent people from going and picking up other people's talisim and claiming it to be their own. So Tosus points out, and the Rush points out, that svara applies both on the portion that I'm holding in my hand and on the portion that I'm not holding in my hand. So I got to take a shvua on all of it. So even though it's not going to be a perfect 50-50 split, I'm going to get whatever's in my hand and he's going to get whatever in his hand, and 50-50 split is only going to be on the rest of it, but I have to take a shvua on all of it. The Ramban quotes from a Ravid that when Rabbi Avo made this gesture, it was only on the part that was betoch yado, because on the rest, it's ein sarich lomar that you take a shvua, it's pshita, meaning not really arguing la halacha, it's just saying Rabbi Avo didn't need to say ubishvua on the rest. What he wanted to say is the chiddish is that you take a shvua on even the part that's in your hand. However, the Ramban then quotes a bahag, and this seems to be shita sarambam as well, that you do not take a shvua on that which is in your hand, only on the rest of it. And the reason is because whatever anyone is holding on to is considered as if it's completely cut off from the rest of the talis, and that is yours. And therefore, it is not included in the Chi of Shavua. So that is the Machlokas Rishonim, what exactly Rabbi Avo was suggesting to take a Shavua on. Only on the rest of the talis, only on the part that's in your hand, or on all parts of the talis. So says, okay, great idea. You're going to say that each one, whatever they're holding on to, they get to keep, and they only have to split the rest. It's not what the Mishnah said, though. When it says in the Mishnah that they split the talis evenly, where would that ever be true, what the Mishnah says, that you split it exactly evenly? Mishnah never said on Makom Shiyadu Maga'as, so where would you ever have a case where you actually split the talis exactly evenly if, in fact, this halach is correct that you get on Makom Shiyadu Maga'as? So Amar Papa, the tafisi bekarkshasa, that if you're holding on to the trimmings at the very edge of the beged, so the guf ha-beged you're actually not holding on to at all. Like we have those tassels right at the end of the talus, so each side is only holding on to the tassels. They're just holding. So the whole talus is what they're not adukim bo. So then that would be the case of our Mishnah where you split the talus evenly. So the Gemara derives as far. So if that's true by a talus, so maybe we can derive from there a halacha legabe other kinyanim as well. Amar of Masharshi Shmami, no, we see from this brisa that everyone takes Masha Biyado, that high sudra, that if a person does a kinyan sudar, you're coming to be kona something, so you give the makna a sudar to be makna to him something. So we keep the tafis be shalosh al shalosh, as long as the makna holds the sudar be shalosh al shalosh as ba'os, and the rest of the sudar is it remains by the kona. So karin and bay, we still can say about the sudar v'nasan l're'ehu, that it's as if you've given over the sudar, meaning both people are holding on to the handkerchief. But as long as the makna has a portion that's 3x3 at ba'os in his hand, that's already called v'nasan l're'ehu. Because as we're learning from this addition to our Mishnah, from this Brisa, whatever you're holding into your hand is as if it's been cut off from the rest of the garment, and that's yours. So by the Sudar also, even though they're both still holding on to it, as long as I'm holding a Shalosh Shalosh portion of it, that's mine. I did a full-fledged Kinyan Sudar. Umayshna mid Rav Chista. Why is this din different than that which Rav Chista said? Dam Rav Chista. Rav Chista said that if a man is coming to divorce his wife and he gives get biyado umeshicha biyado, that get is in her hand, but he has a string that's attached to the get that he's still holding on to. So im yachol ratko lavia etzlo in a magreshes. If he's able to yank on that string and pull the get out of her hand, then she's not magreshes vim lav. But if he's not able to pull the string and pull the get away from her, magreshes, then she is magreshes. But you see that it's that apparently it's not a valid nesina, even though the get is fully in her hand, as long as he's able to pull it out of her hand. And yet over here we said that when it comes to a Kinyan Sudar, well, as long as the guy's holding 3x3 etzbos, I could be holding the rest of it and I could yank it and pull it. It doesn't matter. He's got 3x3 etzbos in his hand. It's his. Whatever you're holding in your hand is totally cut off from the rest, and that's yours. So it says, no, get is different, because you don't just need v'nasan by a get. You need v'kasav la sefer krisus v'nasan biyada. So hasam krisus be'inan. In order for a get to be valid, you need a sense of krisus, that the husband has totally cut off any connection. If he's still got a string that he could pull it, v'leka, then he doesn't have a sense of krisus. But hacha, but by a kinyan sudar, nesina be'inan. You only need nesina, va'ika, and this meets the benchmark of the qualification for nesina, even though in a chinami, it is not a krisus. Now this idea that you need a sudar that's 3x3 etzbos in order for kinyan sudar to work is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that the kinyan sudar, and the explanation seems to be that it's got to be a davar chashuv. Rashi is medayik that kinyan sudar needs to be a beggar that sholosh al sholosh, because less than that shear is not bechlal kli, it doesn't count as a kli, and for a kinyan to take effect, you need it to be a kli. Numukah Yosef highlights not about shame kli, but at least it has to be a davar chashuv, and less than gimel etzbos is not a davar chashuv. Haraya in dine tuma, less than 3 etzbos is not mekabel tuma. So you see, that's the definition of chashivus. So it needs to be 3x3 etzbos. So what do people typically use as a kinyan sudar? So if you use a kli, you know, that's one thing. You use a pen or something like that. So that this din is a din in a beged, in a cloth, that it's got to be 3x3 etzbos. But a lot of times what people will use is not a pen. So a yarmulke they use, if it's not one of the bottle cap yarmulkes, so it's 3x3 etzbos, that's fine. But people often use a gartel. Is a gartel 3x3 etzbos? So it's, in the long way, it's way more than 3 etzbos, but in the it's very, very narrow. So sometimes you have thick gartels, but it's very, very narrow. So the poskim discuss whether that's a valid form of kinyan sudar. So the Kleisenberger has a tshuva about this, and he says, even though by tumah there's a machlokes rishonim about such a beged, but as far as kinyan sudar l'chala deos, it's going to work, because even if it's not considered a beged, you don't need a beged for kinyan sudar. You need something usable, something chashuv, something valuable, and this is usable. It's something that has a function, and he discusses about the tumah of the beged, if it's less than gimel al gimel, whether it's mekabel tumah. So, but he says for sudar for sure it works, and then he concludes that by kinyan that we typically use a kinyan sudar on, where you're not actually being kona anything, you're just being mechayiv yourself. Meaning, when do we do a kinyan sudar by a shtar tanaim or by a ksuba, where you're being mechayiv yourself in the ksuba? Well, the ksuba is already there; you're chayiv anyway. But it's a way of showing that I'm really accepting, with a das shalim, or when you're memanah the rabbi is a shliach to be to sell your chametz, he's going to be your shliach sell your chametz anyway. But you're showing that you're really taking it seriously. I'm not being makna anything to him. I'm not being makna mechametz to the rabbi. I'm being so that type of kinyan sudar, he says, we're much more makeless. So that there would be no shaila to begin with. Meaning that for sure you could use a gartel. It wouldn't be an issue. In Rav Nassim Gestetner's tshuvas in the Horus Nassan, he says that you could do kinyan sudar with such a beged because it's a beged legabei tumah as well. He thinks that it's not an issue. Even the gabei tuma, that if it's a functional beged and it's really long, so then it's a beged the gabei tuma as well. So let's continue now. So Amar Rava, the Gemara explains the situation of the machlokas by a talus. In Maisa talus musheves, let's say you had a talus with gold in it, so cholkin, you would split that as well. So pshita, obviously you'd split it. Why not? So it says Mar lo tzricha dekai dava be mitzi. The Rav is trying to tell me that in the case where the gold is in the middle of the talus, well, hanan pshita. Well, we already said that the middle part of the talus you split. So lo tzricha de mikra v'gabichad. No, the case is that the gold is closer to one person's side of the talus. Mao de Tamus, I might have thought to Amrle, the guy who's closer to the gold could say plokachi. I think when we cut this talus in half, we should cut it this way, where all the gold ends up on my side. So Kamashman, Damrle, my chaz blakachi, plokachi. No, just cut it along the other way, where the gold gets cut down the middle, and that's a reasonable taina. Tan Rabbanan, Shnayim Adukin Bishtar. What if you have two people holding on to a shtar? Malva Omer Shalihi. The Malva says the shtar is mine, meaning it hasn't yet been paid, and therefore I get to hold on to it to get paid. V'nafal menu mitzasiv, and I dropped it, and now I found it, but we both found it at the same time, so that's why we're both holding on onto it. V'lova amar shalachahu, and the lover says, you're right, this is a valid shtar. I did borrow money from you. This was a real shtar. But upratav lach, I've already paid it up. Afterwards, I already paid up my chov. And you returned the shtar from me, and I'm the one that dropped it. So yiskayim ashtar b'chosmav, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds, you're mekayim the edus on the shtar, the signatures on the shtar, and once you know it's a shtar kosher, the malva is able to collect the chov with it again. I mean, he's able to collect the entirety of the chov, is the pashut p'shat in Rebbe. Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel omer yachloku, that the malva and the lover split the shtar. That you don't, he only has to pay half of the halva'a that's written in the shtar. You don't have to pay any more than half of the halva'a. So machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel. It's notable who the people are that are being cholik over here, because in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Kibud Aveim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a son is not allowed to be soser divrei aviv. So there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Is that only be mili di alma that you're not allowed to be? What about divrei Torah? You're allowed to disagree with your father in divrei Torah. So the Shach writes that a son is not allowed to be cholik on his father, even shalom b'fanav. And the Taz says shalom b'fanav, it's mutter. And his raya is that we find a lot of times that the Torah is cholik on the Rosh. Why? Because the Rosh was already dead. It was shalom b'fanav, and therefore the Torah was allowed to be cholik on him. So the Be'er Sheva says, nah, I would have said that by divrei Torah, it's always mutter. Meaning you can't bring a raya from the Torah being cholik on the Rosh. When it comes to divrei Torah, the emes of Torah is what's most important. That's always got to be the priority. So it's always going to be mutter. Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Atzmas Yosef that it's mutter for a father and a son who are to argue with each other in halacha, and that's not called stiras divrei aviv. So one of the rayas that they bring is our Gemara, that Rabbi and Rav Gamliel are arguing in halacha, even though it was a father son relationship. Meaning the Rav Gamliel was the father, Rabbi was the son. So the Maariv Chayis already brings up that point. How could they argue? So he says must have been shalom b'fanav, and when shalom b'fanav, it's mutalachlo kal divrei aviv shalom b'fanav. So again, either it's because it's a matter of Torah, and a matter of Torah you're allowed to do, or it's because it's shalom b'fanav, and you're allowed to argue shalom b'fanav. But going back to our topic over here, so what do you do with this shtar that each person claims is theirs? The Malda and the Lovi each claim that it's theirs. So Rebbe says if you're mekayim the shtar, you can collect it fully. Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel says yachloku nafli adayin, but the brisa continues if a dayan had the shtar, it wasn't the Malda and the Lovi, lo yitziu alamis. It remains in the hands of the dayan until we can prove one way or the other. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Harei B'cheskaso, that it's B'cheskaso Kasher Shtar, and the Malva is able to collect his chov, even though a dayan is holding on to it. Samar Mar, so we said that according to Rebbe, Yiskayim Ashtar B'chosmav, V'gavi Le Malva Kulei, and it says, ask the Gemara, really, the Malva is able to collect the entirety of the Shtar? V'les Le Masnis and Shnayim Ochsin, does he not hold of what the Mishnah says? That if Shnayim Ochsin Betal, Zemar Kulishli, Zemar Kulishli, Yachloku, how could it be that he's going to say that you could collect the entirety of the shtar? It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says yachloku. So Rav Nachman explains the machlokas Rabbi Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel in a case where Rebbe is not going against our Mishnah, in a way that Rebbe is not going against our Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman b'mekuyam divrei kol yachloku. No, if the shtar is mekuyam, Rebbe's not saying the Malva could collect the whole thing. No, it's yachloku. We're dealing with a shtar that's einu mekuyam. Rebbe says moda b'shtar shekasavo tzarich l'kaimo. Rebbe says that even though the lova was moda that he had written the shtar, so long as they're not mekayim the chasimos ha'edim on that shtar, he kataina that he paid it afterwards, and therefore you need to be mekayim the shtar if you want to get any money from him. Mekayim le'palik, and if you're able to be mekayim the shtar, then we do yachloku. But v'lo mekayim le'palik. But if you're not mekayim the shtar with edim, so the lover could say it was already paid, and therefore the malva is not even able to collect half. He's not able to collect anything. My time, why is it that the lover is able to taina that it was already paid? Chasma bialmahu, because it's a piece of pottery that you can't collect with, because the whole thing might have been mezuyef. Man kamashvi le'lahai shtara. Who's the one that ever told us that this shtara had any validity to begin with? Is lover. Well, hakamar debriya. The lover also told us that it's been paid up. Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel savar, modu b'shtar shekasavo, ein tzarich l'kaimo. Then once the guy has been molded in the shtar, there's no need to be mekayim the shtar anymore. It's considered a shtar mekuyam, and therefore valvagav the mekayim like yachloku. So both Rebbe and Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel agree that shnayim ochsin, and therefore it's going to be yachloku, but only yachloku if it's mekuyam. What they disagree about is the definition of mekuyam. Then Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel says as soon as the lova admits it's a real shtar, that's considered mekuyam. Whereas Rebbe holds no, you actually need to be mekayim it. We then said if it falls into the hands of the dayan, then it stays there forever. Well, why is it that we leave it in the hands of the Dayan as opposed to anybody else? So Rava Hachi Ka'amar. No, what it means to say is Va'achar Shematzah Shtar Shenafel Liyadayin. If someone else finds a shtar that had previously been in front of a court and a Dayan had dealt with, it's not about that the Dayan found the shtar. No, we're talking about a special shtar that we know had previously been to a court and had been dealt with. Ve'chidami D'kasa Behenpek. That there's a kiyum of Beis Din written on the shtar. There's a certification of a Beis Din on the shtar. That's lo yotziu alamus. Neither the malva nor the lova could be motzi ratshiyav eliyahu, or edim are able to testify who's the one that dropped it. So we said that the shtar, if the shtar is the brayso talking about a case where the shtar is mekuyam, but the brayso does not mean when the shtar is einam mekuyam the din is going to be any different. V'lo mibayu lo kas behenpek, meaning even all the more so if there was no kiyum on the shtar dikal lemeimar kas of lilvos v'lo lova, because then it could be that you just wrote a shtar with the hope of borrowing money and you never ended up borrowing money. Even though it's a shtar mekuyam, the mekuyam still lo yachzid the chashin lepiron. You still don't return it because we're afraid that it's already been paid up. So that's when a third party finds a shtar mekuyam, and certainly a shtar she'ena mekuyam, you don't do anything with it because it might have already been paid up. Rabbi Yossi Yomar Arei b'chaskaso v'lo chashin lepiron. No, if you're mekayim the shtar, you assume that it's a valid shtar, and we're not choshesh that it's already been paid up. So says Gemara, what v'lo chayish Rabbi Yossi lepiron? Is Rabbi Yossi not choshesh that a star has already been paid up? Va'atanya matzah star ksuba b'shuk. If you find the ksuba in the b'shuk, bizman shabal mode. If the bal is mode that he hadn't yet paid the ksuba yachzi lishta, so good, then it's easy. Give the ksuba back to the woman. But ain't a bal mode. But if the bal thing says that he already paid the ksuba, lo yachzi lo lezev lo lezev, you return it to neither party. Rabbi Yossi Omer, oda tachas baila yachzi liisha. If they're still married, you give it back to the woman. Because we don't believe the husband that he already paid up the ksuba while they're still married. Why would he? Nisarmala o niskarsha. But if they're divorced or she's a widow, then lo yachzal lo lezev lo lezev. Then you can't just give it back to the woman because it might be that it's already been paid up. Ooh, Rabbi Yossi is telling me it might be that it's already been paid up. Why by a ksuba does Rabbi Yossi think it might be already paid up? And yet when it comes to a shtar, Rabbi Yossi doesn't think it might already be paid up. Three resolutions. Number one, epuch. Switch the shitos in the first brisa. Nafli adayin lo yotzi alamus divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says no, it might be already paid up. You cannot do anything with it. V'chamar amar rei b'chaskasa. The Chum say you could still use it. Well, yachi kasha drabanan drabanan. Now you just made a stira out of the rabbanan. Okay, shtar ksuba kula Rabbi Yossi. The brisa about ksuba may be entirely the shita of Rabbi Yossi. V'chsuri machshavachi tani. And here's the way to read the brisa about the ksuba. There is no second shita. Ein abal moda lo yachzir lo lezev lo lezev. If the husband is not moda to the chiyuv, he claims he paid it, you don't return it to anybody. But that's only if the marriage is already over. But if they are still married, you give it back to the woman. Because that is shitas Rabbi Yossi, because no one pays up a ksuba before they get divorced. Once they got divorced, then you have to be choshesh, it's already been paid up. A second resolution of the stira in Rabbi Yossi, Rav Papa Amar, the Olam Lo table. You don't have to switch around the shitos in the first brisa. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not choshesh that it's already been paid up. Aye, what about by the ksuba? Rabbi Yossi is choshesh. Rabbi Yossi, the Devarim, the Rabbanan Kamar Luhu. He was talking to the Rabbanan within their shita. I think even if the marriage is over, we don't have to be choshesh it's been paid up, because I'm never choshesh that the shtar has already been paid up. But Lididhu, you who think that I always have to worry that it might be paid up, at least be mold if they're still married. He probably hasn't paid it. The lavas pironi, because it's not time to pay it yet. So the Rabban would respond back, even if they're still married, I'm choshesh that maybe he gave her something to hold on to so that she won't have a hard time collecting when the time comes to collect. A third resolution in how to resolve the stira in Rabbi Yossi, Ravina Omar, liolam epuch kamaisa, that really we could switch around the first brisa. And Rabbi Yossi is the one that's choshesh lepiron and not the chachamim. That they say someone who's parea to would tear the shtar right away. So if the shtar is still here, it hasn't been paid. The time of the Rabban Hacha, the reason we said the problem with switching Rabbi Yossi, the sheet of Rabbi Yossi in the first price is that it leaves you with the steer and the chachamim. No, the reason for the chachamim in the second price, and not to give the isha back her shtar ksuba is not because I think it's already been paid up. It's mishum dechashin l'shtei ksubos. It's because I think it's been replaced. That maybe after they lost the shtar ksuba, they wrote another one, because that's what you do. Because you're not supposed to live with your wife without a ksuba. Rabbi Yossi, the shtei ksubos lo chayish. And Rabbi Yossi is not choshesh for shtei ksubos, because apparently Rabbi Yossi thinks you don't need to write another ksuba, that you're allowed to stay with your wife without a ksuba. So that seems to be the nekudas ha-machlokas. Now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, machlokas b'shashneihem adukim b'tofas of shneihem b'toref. Avlecharach aduk b'tofas v'echar aduk b'toref zenot al-tofas zenot al-toref. Rabbi Yochanan Amar li'olam cholkin. That the whole machlokas about splitting a shtar is if they're both holding both the tofas and the toref, both the part that has the legal language and the part that has like the specific details. But if they're if one is holding the toref and one is holding the tofas, then the Rabbi Lazar says they each take the part that they're holding. And Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? They're going to split it either way. You don't each take the part that they're holding. Wait, does Rabbi Yochanan say, even if one is holding the tofes, one is holding the toref, they split it? Tanya, what about by the talis? We said, whatever's in your hand, you keep. So, we're talking about where the toref is in the middle. Well, then what's the chiddush? It's closer to one side. So, I might think that he could say, let's split it this way. Why would you split it that way? Let's split it the other way, where we each get exactly half. So from tomorrow, we're going to discuss, what does any of this mean? You cut the shtar in half? Is that what splitting a shtar really means? So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.